Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines. And as always, we have an episode about how the sports world meets finance, business, and the stock market. And today we're going to be doing a state of sports media sort of roundup update because there's a lot of happenings going on recently that pertain specifically to a lot of big companies you've heard of and how they relate to their involvement with sports programming and all that jazz. Because Sports Illustrated just announced that they're putting out a streaming TV service. Now, Time Inc., their owner, might get bought out. ESPN is supposedly about to lay off a bunch of more people. And Barstool Sports, the controversial media company, is now in an even bigger partnership with SiriusXM. And just recently, Facebook announced that they are getting into the college basketball business. But before we get into all that, I want to do a little quick cord-cutting update because the numbers for the third quarter came in. So the top six cable companies lost about 290,000 video subscribers in the third quarter, and that's up from around 90,000 in the same period a year ago. And satellite TV services lost about 475,000 subscribers in the third quarter of 2017. And that's from like a small gain last year. And DirecTV was hit the hardest. They lost like 251 subscribers in the third quarter, and they even had gains last year. So that's not necessarily good news for any of those companies at all. And on the other side of that picture, internet-delivered television services. So that's Sling TV and DirecTV Now. So DirecTV does have something good as they're losing a bunch of satellite subscribers is they've added, those two companies combined, added about 530,000 subscribers in the third quarter. And that's up from adding about 200 last year. So that's a bit of the cord cutting update before we get into more of the sports media happenings. And that doesn't include people who are cutting the cords to then just do streaming services. That's those internet delivered services like Sling TV are more specific than, say, the Netflix or Hulu, but still linear and satellite television have 92 million subscribers compared to like 2.5 for these internet delivered companies. And this is all based on a Lichtman Research Group numbers they pulled for the third quarter, and that is cited by big publications and other research groups such as eMarketer. So these are pretty reasonable numbers and pretty valid numbers for what's going on in the cord-cutting world that everyone, especially in sports media and media in general, are very invested in knowing what's happening. So now we're going to get into a little bit of the sports aspect of what's going on. And this slow burn is happening where more and more people are getting rid of their traditional cable providers. And that brings us right into what's reportedly going to happen at the worldwide leader, and that is that ESPN is going to lay off more people after the Thanksgiving holiday. For a little perspective, they've lost about 13 million subscribers in the last 6 years, all due basically to people getting rid of linear television. Disney reported their fourth quarter and full year revenues recently. They were down like 3% in the fourth quarter, 1% in the year. Even though ESPN, so their cable network revenues were flat pretty much because affiliate fees are up, even though advertising and ratings are down. Sort of they go hand in hand. Advertising dollars leave as ratings go down. And that has forced ESPN to, now it's going to reportedly fire 100 people after Thanksgiving. It's going to be a lot of front-facing talent and a lot of producers and executives on the SportsCenter end of their business. So the once powerful SportsCenter, sort of ESPN's flagship program, the highlight show they became known for, that's been hit really hard because now you can watch highlights anywhere pretty much instantly. I mean, I am a big basketball and soccer fan, and I can see pretty much all those highlights almost as soon as they happen on Twitter or Instagram. And when you have a show that's then coming on at night or whatever, it's now so dated that that product is being really harmed on ESPN, and it's forcing them to reportedly, this isn't official yet, but they're reportedly going to fire 100 more people, and that's after they fired about 100 people in April, and that was a lot of also journalists that people knew and on-air personalities. And this is also after in 2015, they had already fired 300 people in about like 5% of their workforce. So that wasn't maybe as big of news back then because maybe people thought it wasn't, it was more of a one-off thing. But as this cord-cutting revolution happens and that's become the buzzword, it's really clearly affecting ESPN and SportsCenter specifically. In this new report about the new firings is coming from Sports Illustrated's Richard Deitch, who basically he covers American sports media. Like that's his beat. He's locked into this. So if he's reporting it, it's likely going to prove to be true. And that also then brings us, since he's a big Sports Illustrated reporter that's pretty well known, has his own sports media podcast, and that's his beat. Sports Illustrated is now launching a TV service. It's Sports Illustrated TV. It came out on Thursday, November 16th. It's part of a transformation Sports Illustrated's been doing, I'd say, in the last couple of years. They're adding more and more video to their offering. So basically now if you go on sportsillustrated.com, there's likely going to be a video at the top of every story you're reading, no matter if it's like specifically produced for that story or not. They're trying to do as much video as possible. In this new Sports Illustrated TV, the intro video, if you guys haven't seen it at this point, it's interesting. So it says, like, the tagline in the video is "Quiet the Noise." They reference all these talking heads on sports radio and sports talk shows, and it says then, "From the leaders in sports journalism comes the next chapter in storytelling." So they're going to do a lot of documentaries, original programming, but not like Fox or ESPN necessarily. It's more of just bringing the magazine's content to life. So it's more story-driven, less necessarily game-focused content. And they're starting out with 130 hours of on-demand programming. They're going to have original series. Like one of them is going to be called Under the Cover. And so that sort of goes behind the scenes of how they reported their cover story and have some more interviews from, say, the whoever was on the cover that week or something like that. They're also bringing in a few big-time documentary filmmakers. One of them is Jonathan Hock, and he has done some 30 for 30s for ESPN. He's actually done two of my favorite 30 for 30s. One is The Best That Never Was, about a running back, Marcus Dupree. And I don't want to spoil anything for you if you haven't seen it, so I encourage you to check that out. He also did Survive in Advance, which was the Jim Valvano NC State team that went on to win the NCAA tournament, and that is also one of my favorites. So I encourage, just shameless plug, I think those are two of the best 30 for 30s, so that's good for Sports Illustrated that they've landed that guy to produce some documentaries that are going to be coming out in 2018. They're also going to put their SI Now show, which is currently online on SI.com. So it's going to be available in both places. That's like a 30-minute live sports talk show kind of thing. I think it comes out around midday, but you can pretty much watch it anytime after it comes out that day right on their website. And they're also going to have five total original shows is what they're promoting in the press release. Because I've went on the Amazon platform with SITV, and a lot of it is stuff they've already done, so it's not all there yet, which might turn some people off if they're initially looking. And I went on Thursday night, like right when it came out, and it wasn't there. So maybe by the time you're listening to it, they've added some of the original programming they're talking about that's new. And that original programming is like a basketball show, sort of a lifestyle-y basketball show. They're going to be doing a soccer show called Planet Football with one of the big, I would say he's probably the biggest American soccer writer, Grant Wall. He gets profiles with like Lionel Messi, which not many guys in the States get. And he's pretty locked into what's going on. And I'd say the global game of soccer. So that's cool. They're doing that. They're going to do actually a sports betting show and sort of daily fantasy show that there's a working title for it now. So I don't even want to give you the title in case you're looking for it. And they've already changed it at this point. And they're also, of course, they're doing a swimsuit show and they're having all of these, I don't know, I guess you could say highlights from since they started that issue that's now become, I think, by far their most popular issue every year. And then they're also doing, you could say, I mean, they're just crowdsourcing like movies and documentaries that you could watch at other places that are certainly not theirs whatsoever. So they're gonna have like the Rocky franchise on there, some like Michael Jordan documentaries, documentary about the Golden State Warriors, stuff like that. And as I was saying before, to start with, it's all available just on Amazon Prime Video, sort of wherever it's on the internet, Fire Sticks, stuff like that. So you pay $4.99 a month is their plan for now. And then you have access to all this programming on demand whenever you want it. You can also get a 7-day free trial to test it out to see if you like it. But like I said, as of Thursday night when it came out on the 16th, I checked it out and not a lot of new content was there. So I found that to be a little strange. Like all of the video content, you could just look up in online and watch it yourself right there already, not on Amazon and not having to sign up. So I hope that changes for Sports Illustrated's sake, because it seems weird to debut a product and then not a lot of it is out there. All this new stuff you're talking about and how great it's going to be and all this new original programming. And you would think it would be there when you're debuting it, or why bother debuting it? And that sort of brings us to what's going on sort of as a whole of Sports Illustrated. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that they're doing this most likely because their print issues are going down. In 2018, they're going to be 27 issues only. And this used to be a weekly magazine when it came out. And it came out in 1954. And I mean, at the time, and still at the time, I mean, it's a iconic sports magazine. But to now only have 27 issues in 2018, it's clear that this SI TV, this push to video online, is something that they see as their future. Because, I mean, in 2017, they're going to have 38 total issues. So that's a big drop in 1 year. And to think that not that long ago, they were putting out probably at least 45 or so. I mean, at one time, they were a weekly magazine. So that's a big deal. And that brings us to our next Sports Illustrated related topic, and that is that the Koch brothers are reportedly ready to spend $500 million to help Meredith buy Time Inc. So that's Sports Illustrated's parent company. They also own Time Magazine, People Magazine, where Meredith owns, I think their biggest magazine is Better Homes and Gardens. And talks fell apart earlier in the year, and talks went back as early as 2013 for this new partnership. And now, supposedly, with this $500 million from the Koch brothers, the deal is more likely to happen. And that also helps both parties. And Meredith, the Meredith deal looks even better for the Koch brothers, as it seems that Time Inc.'s push to video across sort of all of its outlets, you could say, like People Magazine and stuff like that, they've pushed to video heavily. And supposedly, they now reach 139 million monthly unique viewers or visitors for their online video business. So that's non, like, written content. That's their online video content. And that's a big jump for things that were all print not that long ago, obviously. And the Wall Street Journal is reporting that non-magazine revenue for Time Inc. is going to reach $1 billion this year. So it seems like that's a good time for a company that struggled a bit this year to get bought out by Meredith, who hasn't been struggling as much, even though the magazine business is changing a lot. Time Inc. has proven that if you slowly transition into video, which they're doing, that can help a lot. And now we're going to transition from one historic media giant to an up-and-coming outlet that's gotten in the news for some of the wrong reasons recently, and that is the controversial but highly popular Barstool Sports. They just partnered with SiriusXM for a complete Barstool radio channel. So this is a Barstool Sports 24/7 channel on SiriusXM. If you don't know anything about Barstool, they are sort of a satirical sports website that also does podcasts and videos and all that jazz. And I would say they're geared towards guys under 40. Their target demographic, and based on like advertising, would probably be 18 to 34 year olds. On the SiriusXM release that's promoting this new full-time Barstool channel that's coming out, they say that Barstool is the fastest growing brand in social media for men ages 18 to 34. So that's a pretty big deal. People are going to probably continue to want to be involved in that highly important advertising demographic as they're getting harder and harder to reach on television. So this is only a year after Barstool got on SiriusXM in the first place. So a year ago, 2017, January, they got a two-hour midday talk show, Barstool Radio, SiriusXM. I think it was just 5 days a week. So a year later, they went from a two-hour talk show to a 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year radio show. And their CEO, Dave Portnoy, I listened to his interview with some of the SiriusXM people, and they're asking him kind of like, hey, how are you going to all of a sudden produce all this content? And he basically just on the radio just says, we're going to start taking anyone who wants to come. Like if you work at a radio station that's not doing well, send us your resume, because they need to fill all this position. They don't have that many people that work there. So that might be a little hard to start with, but they're also going to play some of their podcasts that are highly popular on the radio. So they're growing. And this isn't like the satellite rate. Like this isn't SiriusXM doing something desperate to try to pull ratings up or get shareholders excited. They're actually doing pretty well this year. They're up like 21% this year. So this isn't some, oh no, we got to try anything. So we're going to get these controversial Barstool guys who ESPN dropped. It's not that. They just see this as something that's doing really well. And we want to be involved. And so back to this controversy, as some of you might know, ESPN gave Barstool a show. It only lasted for one episode. That was Barstool Van Talk. That was an adaptation of their highly successful podcast, Pardon My Take. And it was then a pared down version sort of the show with the two hosts. They hosted a half an hour show on ESPN one night. It was Tuesday night at like midnight. It was on one week. ESPN pulled the plug based on some inside pressure of things that have been said there. I mean, if I don't want to get into that all now today, but if you look it up, Barstool is surrounded by some controversy. As you can see, their target demographic is younger guys. So they say some things that aren't necessarily okay with bigger media companies, to say the least. But also to put it into a little bit of perspective of how big Barstool has gotten. In 2016, they were bought. So the Churn Group now owns 51% of Barstool Sports. The CEO and the owner of the Churnin Group is Peter Churnin, and he's the former CEO of News Corp, the film division of Fox. He helped bring like Titanic to the screen and Avatar. And he's been interviewed, like Charlie Rose once said, and other people have said, he is or was at one point the most powerful man in all of media. And he decided to buy Barstool Sports, basically. He owns 51% of them. So if you haven't heard of Barstool, big time media people who know the landscape very well have heard about them long before you did, and they decided to get in early. So it seems like maybe they're going to get even bigger. ESPN distanced themselves from Barstool, but at a certain point, no matter what the controversy is, people sort of want to go where the money is and where the viewers are and where the readers are. And that seems for now that Barstool is growing. And a little like fact from a New York Times Magazine piece that just came out about Barstool and their what they do, and it's sort of It came out right after the ESPN thing happened. So the president of Chernin Digital, Mike Kearns, I'm quoting now from the New York Times Magazine piece, said of Barstool, "When I got access to Barstool's Google Analytics, I knew this was something different. They had something like 20% of their visitors coming back about 20 times a day. I've been in this business for 2 decades, and all of their numbers bucked the usual trends." So that's what Barstool's doing. SiriusXM's now all in on Barstool. So if you don't know them, you might want to know them for now. They're probably only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the ESPN controversy, probably in the long run, isn't going to hurt them at all. And it might even help them and sort of propel them forward as ESPN declines for an array of reasons. But we're not going to get into all of that today. And now we're going to go from one up-and-coming media site in Barstool to one of the biggest media companies in the world, gets some of the most traffic in the world, has some of the most users in the world. So it's not necessarily a media site as you would think, but it really is. And that is Facebook. A lot of people get their news from there. And now Facebook is getting into the live sports game. They have failed to get the NFL rights in the past couple of years. Maybe they weren't trying that hard, but Twitter and Amazon beat them out over the last couple of years for the Thursday night football rights. But now they are doing college basketball this year. They got the rights to stream 47 college hoops games in the 2017-2018 season. And it's not going to be big name brands you've heard of in college basketball. So they're not playing Duke, North Carolina. They're not doing Kansas games. You know what I mean? They're doing smaller games for more of the hardcore college basketball fan, or if you are a fan or went to one of these particular schools. For some perspective on what those teams are, the first game they ever covered was Belmont versus Middle Tennessee State, so not a blockbuster matchup by any means. And a couple of the bigger names, though, will be names familiar if you're familiar with college basketball. They're going to be playing St. Mary's games this year, Davidson games this year, UMass, Memphis, Dayton, those teams. So teams to make the tournament, just not the biggest names in college sports. But that is what Facebook is trying to do, is get into more live coverage. They have their new watch service, which is all live video, and the start of live sports on Facebook is going to prove to be big in the long run. I'm positive of it. Facebook is trying to get in to as much live video as possible, and getting into college basketball this year will be a way they can test that out. So I hope this episode has helped illuminate for you guys a little bit more of the changing sports media landscape and a little bit of the media landscape in general. As you can see, things are happening really quickly. Big companies like ESPN are being forced to lay off people based on something that was their bread and butter, SportsCenter. It's now just not as viable of a product. So they're going to need to look to the future as they're going to Snapchat. Facebook is getting in on college basketball. There is a lot going on. Everyone's experimenting. Everyone's trying to see what works. And there's going to be more experiments happening way sooner than later because everything is just moving so quickly and these companies are having a hard time keeping up, especially the bigger companies that have a lot of overhead. So it's the likes of Barstool that can adapt quickly. So that does it for us on another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.